Lord and vassal duties. A few weeks ago, I did a podcast on the creation of how feudalism came about, and then later on, I did a podcast on some of the terms used, and last year, I also did one on serf dues. So I think we owe it to the Lord and his vassal to find out what their responsibilities are. So let's first start with the Lord, because he has relatively simple obligations. So the person who grants the land to someone in return for certain obligations, which we will see, he himself has obligations. So if you were William the Conqueror and you gave land to your great lords, your responsibility as their lord falls into two categories. One is to protect that vassal in his fief. So you would, the person giving the land, be responsible for helping that person physically. If he is attacked, you have to come to his aid. And you probably have financial responsibilities to help him as well. The other thing that you're responsible for is to right wrongs done to your vassal. So if in court someone says bad things about them, or they go to trial, or you know, any number of circumstances that come up, as the lord of that particular person, you have a responsibility to help them. If they've been falsely accused, to prove them innocent. So you have financial and military, the protection piece of it, and then you also have the business about righting the wrongs. Now, a lot of times we forget completely about the responsibilities that the Lord owes to a vassal. So it isn't like you're going to receive land and then you're on your own, and you have all these responsibilities and obligations and things like that. So that's where the Lord comes in. However, compared to what the person receiving the land from the Lord, the vassal, compared to the responsibilities he have, the Lord has pretty insignificant responsibilities. As far as the vassal, of course, you have to take the oath. You have to give an oath of fealty, which is that act of homage. You have judicial obligations. In other words, you have to attend the Lord's court. You have to give him advice. And you have to give judgment in cases concerning other vassals and other lords. So this is a responsibility that you also end up with. Financially, there's a lot of money that is going to end up exchanging hands. For example, the financial obligations of a vassal, you have what are referred to as feudal aids. Now, this is what I refer to as nickel and diming your vassal to death. For example, you're required to make a payment or a gift to your lord when his son becomes a knight. And when the lord's daughter or daughters get married, another present is required. And then heaven help you if the lord gets captured in combat and is ransomed, because it is your responsibility to help pay for that ransom. Now, obviously, any money that is going to lead the vassal's hands is going to be assessed to either people he has subdivided his land to, or at the very bottom, the people are going to end up paying everything, are going to be the serfs, either squeezing them with a few more taxes or a little bit of everything else. There's another feudal obligation, which is called relief, and that is a tax that a vassal pays when he inherits a fief. So let's say that you're the son of a vassal and your father dies. When you go to the Lord and ask for the privilege to control the same land with the same requirements, when that is done and the Lord says, yes, you may take your father's place, well, there's a tax that you have to pay. It's kind of a little inheritance tax, but it's referred to as relief. And then the most disliked of all of the of these financial obligations was the hospitality aspect. That is, that you as the vassal were required to give the lord and his entourage a certain amount of free lodging when he traveled into your area. You know, you put him up in your place, which generally means he's going to sleep in your bed, because there's only one bed really worth sleeping in. You're going to have to feed them. You're going to have to do all this other stuff. And it's very expensive. And frequently, you can buy that. You can pay for that privilege to disappear. So there are a lot of financial obligations that are involved. The one we're always familiar with is the military obligations. I mean, you have to serve the Lord as a knight for a certain number of days. Now, it's not forever. It depends on the structure in which you are in. The longest amount of time that you would be required to serve in the Middle Ages was 60 days. It is usually 30 to 40 days, but you could be held for 60 days. And at the end of the 60 days, if the Lord still wants you to stay, he probably has to pay you. Something has to come in, but you're only really required that 30, 40, or 60 days. This comes from the Great Ferd, the Germanic custom of providing knights and things. And Charlemagne had to deal with this issue, and one of the ways he got noblemen to fight longer than the required 30 to 60 days was he gave them tax exemptions, immunities, in return for longer service. So there's a way of getting that. But you're supposed to serve whenever the Lord calls for you. If you've done 60 days in 1 year and he calls again, you really don't have to answer. Now, in the case of England, and in the case of situations where you have the later Middle Ages, you were also supposed to provide the Lord with mounted men. Instead of just coming yourself, you might be required to provide a certain number of horsemen, which is one of the reasons why you subdivided your piece of land so that you could gather up those other retainers. So you're going to have to provide yourself for sure, and probably some other people. But again, it's restricted to 30, 40, or 60 days. And one of the problems that kings have is that, you know, if you need troops, you frequently may not want to call everybody up at the same time. Unless there's a threat that those people are going to lose their property too if you go down, probably will be difficult to get them for any longer time period. So you have all of those things. I mean, there are financial obligations, there's the military obligations, the judicial part of it. You know, this is where we get the term jury of your peers. You want to be, the nobles are going to judge themselves. So there's a lot of responsibility getting that piece of land and keeping it. And if you fail in any of those obligations, you certainly can forfeit your piece of property. You can indeed be considered a felon. There are all sorts of issues that come into play. And, of course, the great concern is on the death of your lord, is his son, whoever replaces him, going to provide you with the same amount of let you keep your property? So the Middle Ages is really a little bit more complicated from the standpoint of whose responsibility is to do what. It's not just, you know, you're the serf and you're trying to stay alive, and you're the lord and you're trying to stay alive. And these reciprocal agreements, I'm going to do this for you, in return you do this for me. Of course, eventually leads to what we're used to today, which is a written contract. And that written contract is basically a legal piece of paper doing what we were doing in the Middle Ages with your word, an oath of homage, and your hand on the Bible. So that should pretty much finish us up for the Middle Ages. And again, I'm going to recommend the same books that I've been doing throughout the entire time I've been dealing with feudalism and the early Middle Ages, and that is The Feudal Society in two volumes by Bloch, and Feudalism by Gainshoff. There are a variety of other books that are available, but those are the old classics. So, hope you enjoyed that. Don't forget to come by summahistorica.com, see what's there, leave a comment, leave a question. I hope that you've noticed a change in the quality of the broadcast, because I've gotten some software and put it on the computer, and so I'm not holding a handheld iPod making my podcast. So hopefully there's more consistency to the sound. It's taking me a little bit to get used to it. At least now I can move both of my hands around. Whenever I lecture, I do a lot of gesturing, and the old joke is that if you put me and another one of my buddies who does the same thing in a closet together, we'd kill each other just trying to explain how we got out of the closet. But it was kind of difficult doing a podcast where I'm holding the tape recording device in one hand and then trying to cover all the material. So hopefully this will continue to improve. So have a nice day.